In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Honor your father and mother. This is God's command, that we should so fear and love him that we not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. From this, we begin to understand that authority and honor are intimately related. That is, those who have been placed in authority over us, either as parents, pastors, or lords, governors, by God are due honor. They are to be served and obeyed, loved and cherished. Likewise, those whom we honor are thereby invested with or recognized as having some sort of authority by the very fact that we honor them. But also we understand that we honor and respect these out of honor and respect for God, because it is ultimately God who invests these offices with such authority as the one who is our true Father, our true Pastor, our true Lord in heaven. Yet we don't live in heaven. We live on earth. Knowing that we need paternal assistance and aid here on earth, God provides it through men. He gives through these earthen vessels all that we need for this body and life. And if not by your biological fathers, then by some other. God takes care of you. Your diapers were changed, you were fed and clothed, you received shelter from the elements of weather, and you were spared from death by illness or exposure. Someone took care of you. That someone, regardless of how you referred to him, was not your true father. Your true father is in heaven. But he gave you into the custody of an earthly father for a time, for your benefit. On account of this, we honor them. We serve and obey them. We love and cherish them. Because we understand and see that their love, care, and provision is God's love, care, and provision. We honor them because they have been authorized by God to be the stewards of his providential care as our custodians. And they use this authority ultimately for our benefit and not their own, despite the mixed bag that human motivations may be. And this is likewise the way it is with pastors, teachers, employers, governors, and rulers. Consider for a moment Pharaoh's method for destroying the Israelites. He subjected the Israelite infants to exposure. That is to say, he denied them fathers. No one, even adults, can survive for long in this world alone. We need fathers. The desire for complete self-sufficiency is arrogance and ultimately leads to death. All living men, even babies in their mother's wombs, enjoy this mercy from God. Nothing moves or breathes apart from our Heavenly Father. He is the creator of all things. The Lord who took up our flesh, who walked this earth, has never really been separate from the physical stuff of his creation, nor has he been ashamed of it. He continues and upholds his creative work through and with and for creation. Babies come about by physical action in the intimacy of a man and a woman, and they are cared for and thrive in and among the same. The Lord works a miracle in Zarephath, but it is inside creation. Elijah, the widow, and her son eat it, but it was always the Lord's acting, his doing, that provides, whether it appears miraculous or mundane and ordinary. Now, if the necessity and gift of earthly fathers as God's masks is of such profundity, then that of spiritual fathers on earth is even more so. For we know nothing of the Lord's grace, of his mercy, apart from the office of the ministry. The office of the ministry is a physical reality. It is given and exists on earth like Elijah's bread. We were baptized by the hands of men. We eat and drink the body and blood of God, hidden in bread and wine, produced and handed to us by men. We read the scriptures, written and handed down by men, in the tongues of men. None of those men, like unto our mother's husbands, are worthy of the title father. None of them are our true father. Yet all of them have stood in this office. All of them have been fathers, for all of them have served in God's place for us, at his command, issued on earth through the church. The Lord has used them in this office so that we would obtain faith and believe that we are received into God's favor, that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who died for our transgression and was raised again for our justification. By this faith, delivered through the office of the ministry on earth, God imputes righteousness. That is to say, he saves and gives life. He doesn't sit in heaven and think us saved. He reaches out on earth through earthen vessels with earthen stuff. And so we honor them. We serve and obey them. We love and cherish them because we see and understand that their speech and acts are God's. We honor them because they have been authorized by God to be the stewards of his love, grace, and mercy as our custodians. And they use this authority ultimately for our benefit and not their own gain, despite the mixed bag that human motivations may be. And that is why I think our Lord warns us to beware of the scribes. They speak and act not from authority, but for honor. They use theology and their office as a pretense for honor and their own gain. Their authority comes not from the word of God, which established this office for the benefit of his people, but rather from their own morality, knowledge, and intentions for the benefit of themselves. May it not be so with the apostolic office, the office of the ministry which has been given to us. The men who fill it are just as fallible and given to vanity, but the promises of God remain certain and sure. They never fail. This is why St. Paul can't remember who he baptized. He baptized nobody. The Lord baptized them. He baptized them all. Paul was only a mouthpiece and hands, carrying out his duties in accordance with what the Lord had established. And so it is also with our pastors, our fathers, our governors, even us. And in this way, we too will have contributed not out of our abundance, but out of our poverty. We are not exposed. We're not left to the elements. The Lord has provided. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, we have a Father. In the name of Jesus.